Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs went down to the wire versus the Lions yesterday after starting the game down 10-0. Kansas City needed a touchdown with 20 seconds left to take the 34-30 lead. Mahomes passed for 315 yards but failed to find the end zone through the air in the first NFL regular season game indoors. So, Shannon, what grade would you give Mahomes yesterday?
A+. A++.
Seriously?
Yes,
plus?
Down 10.
Are you trying to do stand-up comedy?
No, Skip Bayless, there was every reason.
Wait, A+?
Every reason for them to lose this game. Huh. Sammy Watkins dropped a touchdown early in the game. Three fumbles. Every reason. Detroit was playing. The defense was getting going.
I thought you didn't like Detroit. You ridiculed them when Kyler Murray tied them in the opener. Remember that? You said, well, they're terrible. Okay. Well, that's what you told me.
I said they had backed off.
Oh.
They didn't back off on this situation. They kept coming. They kept coming. And this was a road game. I mean, this was a home game as opposed to a road game. And yesterday, Mahomes, they were not able to connect on those deep balls. Because a lot of times, you know, it's that 50-yarder, that 60-yarder that gets them going early. He normally finds Mecole Hardman, or he'll find Sammy Watkins. He'll find one of those guys deep, Robinson, but he wasn't able to connect. So they made him go, as we say, Skip, he had to do it the long way, make him go the hard way. He's like, okay, y'all want me to go the hard way? I do it. Here, Kelsey, take this one. They out there doing Globetrotter. They're doing Globetrotter-ish out there on the field. You saw that, Jenny? Travis Kelsey catch one over the middle of the field, Skip Bayless. And say, Shady McCoy, you take this. This actually happened to me. I was in a game when Randy Moss did this and pitched it to Mo Williams at the end of the half and scored a touchdown. But, Skip, I want to get you to see some of these throws. Watch my homeboy.
Really?
This is how comfortable my homeboy is at playing the quarterback position. DJ, give me a beat right quick. Skip. The only quarterback in the NFL that can do this right here. DJ, we ready? Look at my homeboy. Watch my homeboy. You see what he did, Skip Bayless? And he said, you like this? He said, you like what I'm doing? Because I'm the best in the game right now, Real. Look back at him.
That's so fast.
Look back at him, Skip.
He's a Globetrotter.
Look at that.
He said, I throw no looks. I run. Don't even worry about where I'm going. But I just know I'm going in the right direction.
Okay.
And Skip, when the rubber needs... Skip Bayless said, I need to see if they fall behind. Can he do it?
Yeah.
He said, you know what, Skip Bayless? I heard what you said, Skip. He said, I heard what you said the other day. You want to see if I can do it in a hostile environment. If we're down, can I do it? You better believe I can. And he went and did it, Skip Bayless. Skip, it would be a great luxury. He know the reason why Patrick Mahomes will always be in the MVP discussion is because he's always going to be in a shootout. And he's always going to have advanced numbers because his defense is really not that good, Skip. And this is why they're willing to give up two first-round picks for Jalen Ramsey. It's because they're trying to shore up the back end of that defense. But that young man is through his first 2 years, his first 21 games of starting, nobody has ever been better. And he's only going to get better. And for him to go on the road and do what he did yesterday in the fashion in which he done it, I have no choice, Skip Bayless, but to give him an A+.
Wow, I must have watched a very different
did
game.
You?
Did.
Maybe I need to get LASIK. But I got like 2015 vision. I can see everything.
You was hoping your quarterback could ever do
like
that.
I don't know, maybe it's my TV.
You was hoping your quarterback.
I got to get a new TV, this black and white
different.
I got.
Yeah, you got to get rid of them rabbit ear TVs you got, the old rabbit ears.
What grade you see, Skip?
Well, all I know is I heard commentator after commentator through the night say, Patrick Mahomes did not have his best game. Patrick Mahomes struggled, so... by his runaway MVP standards, I got to give him a C- because it was not very good. And again, did he throw a touchdown pass, Shannon? You gave him an A+, and he threw no touchdown passes. So he had thrown at least two in 14 straight games.
It's crazy.
That was one short of Peyton Manning's all-time record of 15.
Wow.
And I don't know, maybe he was choking because he's completely aware of stats. Maybe he was trying to force the ball.
No, he wasn't.
I don't know. And think about his degree of difficulty at Detroit, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
You know Darius Slay, right?
I do.
One of the better defensive backs in the league, and he couldn't go yesterday. I believe he had a hamstring.
Right.
And then we talked last week about Quandre Diggs, and he was the other starting corner, and he pulled up lame late in the first quarter. So all of a sudden, Detroit was down both its starting cornerbacks, and Patrick Mahomes couldn't throw one touchdown pass.
Mm.
He barely went over 300 yards against a team that was down both starting corners. Most teams, if they're down two starting corners, he would throw for 500 because it'd be like, pick one. Do you want him or do you want him?
But Skip,
right?
You know what happens.
Interesting.
When you fumble the ball, you lose possession.
Oh.
So it robbed him of continuous possession.
Mm.
But let's talk about who Mahomes was without.
Huh.
His starting left tackle, Eric Fisher.
Well, he's been without him the whole year.
No, he hadn't. He got hurt the second game.
What?
But that's neither here nor there.
He's been without him since the first game.
No,
right?
We'll talk about that a little later, Skip.
Okay.
He was also without Tyreek Hill. Is Tyreek Hill any good?
No, he's good, but they're loaded.
Whoa.
Mecole Hardman stepped right in.
No, he ain't stepped. Is he Tyreek Hill? Okay. He's also without his starting running back, Damon, is he any good?
Yeah, well, didn't they do to Baltimore just what Baker did? And it was like 500-plus yards, right, with those guys? I don't think they missed a beat without Tyreek.
I'm just saying,
obviously
they missed a beat because if they didn't miss a beat, those guys wouldn't be starting. There's a reason why you have starters and you have backups.
Huh.
The starters are better than the backups. That's why they're backups.
Mm. And then in all my years of watching and covering pro football, I don't know if I've ever seen a more bizarre 14-point swing as I saw at the goal line, because Kerryon Johnson looks like he's about to score, if we could please see this.
Yep.
And he smashes into the pile. At the bottom of the pile, he loses the football, and it's just sitting on the goal line. Whoops. And Bashaud Breeland just says, well, look what I found. Look what I found.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, maybe I'll just run with it, and I'll just keep running. And he goes like 101 yards. They made it 100. But it's a 100-yard return, and it goes from Detroit's about to go up to they're up 7, right? So it's as big a 14-point swing as you will ever see in a football game.
The game was really funny because, Skip, if you think about it, you remember they're about to go in and kick a field goal, and Matthew Stafford, he fumbled.
Yeah.
And then you see another situation on the kick return. Mecole Hardman, he fumbled.
Yeah.
And then Sammy Watkins had a first down.
Yeah.
And they punched the ball out of his hands. He fumbles.
Okay. So what was the best play that Mahomeboy made in this game? Well, it wasn't with his arm. It was with his legs, because they face a do-or-die 4th-and-8. And this is under a minute to go.
They're just
dead. And look what happens. The Honolulu Blue Sea parts up the middle.
Oof.
And he doesn't run for 8 or 9. He runs for 16 yards because Coach Pencil has everybody playing man across the formation. And they got 2 on Kelsey, and everybody's running with their man, running with their man, and nobody is left at home. And he just goes right up the middle, and he can run a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's blazing fast, but he's pretty fast.
Whoa, hold on.
That's it.
Hold on.
That's the ball game.
Now, you remember just last week, I think my memory is not what it used to be. Maybe it was last week or the week before. Tom Brady scrambled for 3 yards, got a first down, and somebody came in here the next day, stood on top of the table, and said the 42-year-old got a first down.
Stand on
top of the table, Jenny.
As a matter of fact, I
thought he looked quicker than ever because of pliability.
Jenny,
he actually looked pretty quick in Buffalo yesterday because he was running for his life.
Jenny, I was in my room, and somebody knocked on the door.
Sure.
He's like, can I talk to you for a second? I was stuck my head out. He's like, Tom Brady got a first down. I said, man, leave me alone.
Really?
Yeah.
So now,
homeboy, you do what you have to do.
Remember that touchdown Tom ran for last year against fourth quarter?
There you go.
While Tom Brady was throwing for 182 yards, he actually won the game with his legs.
I remember that.
All I'm saying is that Patrick Mahomes, sometimes it's not about throwing for 5 touchdowns, although I'm sure. But at the end of the day, as he said, we got to find ways to win games like this, because down the road, it's going to get tough. They got some tough games down the road, and they're coming.
Mm.
But they're going to be stronger for this.
Mm.
They're going to be real strong. And my homeboy, he might throw for six bands.
Mm.
He might throw for 6 bands.
Mm. How many touchdowns, though?
He'll be more than 40.
He got 0 at Detroit.
And he still got 10.
Wow, interesting.
Who lead the league?
Huh? Who leads the league in QBR? Help me out. Dak Prescott.
Who? Your guy got an L. My guy ain't got no L.
They both had a 77 QBR, even though yours was a tick above mine.
Yeah, but your guy took an
Thank
L.
You for admitting that.
Your guy took the L. He came to my restaurant.
This guy was playing at New Orleans against that defense versus at Detroit versus Coach Pencil's defense.
I remember that same defense that was at Detroit put 10 points on Tom Brady. Huh. You remember that, Skip? Just last year, that same defense held Tom Brady to 10 points.
Yeah.
And my homeboy went and got 30.
That same defense went to Arizona to start the year, and Kyler Murray threw all over them in the fourth quarter and almost brought them back to a win, but it ended up a tie.
Because Coach Pencil, as you call him, he called the dogs off.
Yeah.
He didn't do that yesterday. He kept attacking. Skip, I mean, I don't really know what you want him to do. And they started playing what they call punt coverage on Kelce. Mm. If you notice, they started having two guys line up over him. They're like, you're not throwing the ball to Kelce.
Yep.
If you're going to have to go to Sammy Watkins, you're going to have to go to Hardman, you're going to have to go to someone else.
Well,
but we're not going to let you throw the ball to Kelce.
On fourth and eighth, they said you can't have Kelce.
And then they played, they double Kelce. They played man across the board.
They did.
They rushed. But see, that's what happened.
They rushed three.
They rushed four guys, Skip, but they got out of their lanes.
Yep.
If you get out of your lanes.
They rushed three.
No, they rushed four. Yep. But you get out of your lanes, it's over.
Huh. Well, you just gave this guy an A-plus for, by his standards, a mediocre performance. Skip. And they did win, but... Okay, he beat Matthew Stafford. You love that?
Skip.
Wow.
The thing is, I understand Einstein, you know, he did the relativity the relativity theory, but he did some other good things, too.
Oh.
You can't just, I mean, he can't.
Did you just compare Patrick Mahomes to Einstein?
Yeah!
Really?
Yeah, he's a prodigy.
What
Somebody
can he do?
Change the world?
Prodigy.
Right?
What? Oh.
Prodigy.
Dude.
You know the prodigy is, right? Prodigy. He's a prodigy.
Oh, I know what a prodigy is.
Something we may never see again.
He's going to invent the next atomic bomb, right?
I'm feeling he's going to have a few more.
When he throw for six, when he throw for six bands and about 45 touchdowns to win the Super Bowl, that would be the equivalent.
Really?
Yeah, when that thing hit the NFL, we'll never be the same again.
Next up for the Chiefs, they play the Colts Sunday night. So he'll have a few more opportunities.
Where they play at?
I think they're on...
It better be home.
Kansas City, yeah, it is.
Skip, it better be home, Skip. And they just gave up three touchdowns to Derek Carr.
They did.
Oh.
Could be interesting.
Well, Andrew Luck was playing last year and went there and stunk it up at Kansas City. No
mercy. Hey, guys, this is Jenny Taft, and I have a quick message for you about Noom. Some people think that all diet and weight loss plans are the same, but that's because they haven't tried Noom. Noom is a new, totally different approach to losing weight and getting healthy that uses psychology and small goals to help you change your habits, making it easy to lose the weight and keep it off for good. Noom combines the power of technology with real human support, offering as little or as much help as you want along the way. And since Noom is an app, it's always with you and easy to use, which makes it super easy to stay on track and reach your goals. It's just as simple to get started. Just go online, answer a few quick questions, and they'll create a personalized program just for you. Noom can help you lose your old way of thinking about food and dieting. So what do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/podcast, Noom.com/podcast, and start your 14-day trial today. Change your habits. Change your mind. Change for good with Noom. No mercy.
So it was a defensive battle last night in the Saints' 12-10 win over the Cowboys. Ezekiel Elliott averaged less than 2 yards per carry and had a key fumble, but Zeke also did have the only touchdown in the game. Dak Prescott had under 250 passing yards, no touchdowns, and an interception on a Hail Mary attempt at the end of the game. And after the game, Dak said that the loss does not impact the team's confidence moving forward. Skip, should the Cowboys be more concerned about Dak or Zeke here?
Seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
They have obviously no concerns about Dak Prescott, who still leads the National Football League in QBR. By the way, the totals are 91.4 for Dak through four games. Your homeboy is 87.6. They virtually had the identical QBR of 77 yesterday, Mahomes at Detroit. But Dak was playing at New Orleans in the toughest defensive test he will face for the whole schedule because they were spoiling to get revenge over Dak and the whole football team for the 13-10 whooping that they put on Drew Brees and the Saints last year on a Thursday night at Jerry World. So, again, Dak had about half an Amari. He had a limited Amari, and he had no Michael Gallup. So let's see what happens when he gets those two guys healthy, which brings me to my guy, Ezekiel Elliott, the guy I have pushed and defended as the best running back in football. I am concerned, and they should be
concerned about what?
Dearly concerned. So the last two times he's faced a tough defensive test, it was here in the Coliseum against the Rams in the second round of the playoffs, second playoff game they played, and now at New Orleans. What happened in those games? Against the Rams, he went a total of 20 carries for 47 yards. And if you take away his long of 15, that means he went 19 for 32 yards. Well, that's exactly what happened last night because he went 18 times for 35 yards. That's a 1.9 average. So I am very concerned about him against a credible defense because the first three games obviously weren't credible defenses. Mm. And against credible defenses, it's a combination of my concern of Zeke, the new $100 million running back, and my offensive line that got its golden tails whipped repeatedly by the Saints front last night. And if you have the best running back, nobody can stop you. Let's go back to the days of Jim Brown or even Barry Sanders or certainly Emmitt Smith. Nobody could stop them. They just said, here we come. We're going to do this and you can't stop it. And he's going to get his 100 yards whether you like it or not. So in these big games against good teams, he just gets shut down. I thought he looked a little slow out of the blocks last night. Maybe he's a little heavy. Maybe he's not quite in game shape yet after spending the summer in Cabo, but he still looked like Cabo Zeke last night. And my offensive line got knocked off the ball repeatedly, and he had nowhere to run, and he wasn't able to out-quick anyone. Kamara can just flat out out-quick you to a gap. Like, he'll find a gap when it's not there, and then he'll slither through it. He'll drag you. He'll cut. Yeah. He'll dart. He has incredible balance. He was the better running back last night. He outplayed Ezekiel Elliott. And
Why don't you have those concerns with Dak? Why don't you have no concern with Dak?
Well, he had,
because Dak,
I'm concerned
with Dak because, again, in big games, when they can't run the football, he can't deliver them from evil. Huh. Again, he's 1-8 when Zeke Elliott is held under 75 yards rushing. This is his opportunity. What did he do in the game last year, Skip Bayless? They won. They played New Orleans. Mm-hmm. What did Dak do? They won 13-10. Mm-hmm. There's a reoccurring theme here. Mm-hmm. Team shut down Zeke. They shut down Dak. Mm. It's easy for Dak. Mm. What did he do against Miami? Oh, look at Dak throw the ball against Miami. Mm. Yeah, they ran for 1,700 yards. Mm. Oh, look at Dak. Look at Dak against Washington. Mm. Zeke had another 100-yard performance.
Stop. Did you see him against Philly last year twice? Do you like those games?
And did you like?
Do you like him against Seattle in the playoff game?
If I'm not mistaken, Zeke had 100 yards in all three of those games. Mm. There's a reoccurring theme here, Skip. Stick with me. I'm going to slow it down for you. Skip, what I'm trying to say, follow me, Skip. I'm slowing it down. Mm. When Zeke runs the ball, Dak plays really well.
That's everybody. That's how it works for Tom Brady. They were the number one rushing attack in the playoffs last year.
I'm not talking about Tom Brady.
Because he's the greatest quarterback ever played.
Because I've seen Tom Brady win ball games when they got no running game. Mm. That's what makes Skip. That's what makes the elite quarterbacks elite. When we can't run it, they can say, son, we can't run it today. Mm. Go win it. Mm. And the Peyton Mannings, the John Elways, the Tom Brady's, those elite quarterbacks could go get that done. Mm. We have yet to see your guy consistently do that because they are a play-action team. Mm. When you can't run the football.
They haven't been a play-action team until this year against three dog opponents.
Skip.
Well, seriously.
Skip.
They barely used play-action the last 3 years. This is a whole new world.
Skip. And they've also, when they don't run the football, look at when Zeke runs the football. Yeah. Look at their record. Look at when Zeke can't run the football. Look at their record.
What happened? Help me out. My memory fades here a little bit. The first eight games last year, they had Zeke healthy, happy, running like crazy. Mm-hmm. What happened? 3-5 happened. Mm-hmm. Five times they couldn't eat at your restaurant. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of L's to take with Zeke leading the way.
Well, that should tell you.
You know why? Because he didn't have a number one receiver until Amari got there and they took off.
You should be very upset with that.
Interesting. Because now they go as Amari goes.
It takes a number one receiver to help your guy. If your guy's
everybody needs somebody.
Oh, not everybody. You say Tom Brady don't.
Well, at Buffalo, he needed somebody. He couldn't pick three guys from Dorchester to come out of the stand.
You see, you keep, Skip.
You can't pick three guys from Orchard Park because they love the Bills.
Skip, I understand. Look, I was once told, say, son, you can be good at any game if you understand the rules and you're willing to win at any cost. Mm. But I'm trying to understand the rules, but Skip keep changing them.
No.
At one point in time, he says, oh, Dak, oh, everybody needs a run game. Yeah. But now it's Zeke's fault when they can't run. Mm. Well, if your guy is what you say he is, shouldn't he be able to deliver?
He had about half of his number one receiver last night because he got two offensive pass interference. No, he's not healthy. Yes, he got an MRI on Tuesday. A bad ankle, couldn't push off.
Skip,
so he had to push off literally of Marshawn Lattimore to get open.
Skip.
And they called him twice. I'll bet he's never been called for offensive pass interference in his life. He's the sweetest route runner in pro football, but he couldn't push off.
Skip, you've told me that once that guy steps onto that field, he's 100%. That's what you told me.
Well, I can just tell you he wasn't. And Michael Gallup didn't step on the field last night, and he's developed into one of the best deep threats in pro football, and they didn't throw it up the field at all because Amari had no burst, and there's no Michael Gallup. So what? Maybe they should have tried one to Devin Smith or somebody or Tavon.
But, Skip, what they remind me of, when Zeke is running the football, it reminds you of when Beast Mode ran the ball in Seattle. It gets everybody energized. Mm. That defense really starts to fly. Mm. The special teams really starts to fly. And you look at those offensive linemen, how they run down the field and pick Zeke up, and Zeke starts eating.
Mm.
Woo! That's what you are.
Did you see him do this one time last
night? No, they made sure.
Thank you.
He didn't have nothing
in
the bowl.
He didn't do it one time.
They took all his bowl. Like, Cam Jordan took all his cornflakes. William had let it be all the cornflakes. Davenport took all his cornflakes.
So, what do we got here in the first, across the front of the New Orleans Saints? We got Cam Jordan, first round pick, high pick. How about Marcus Davenport, UT San Antonio, first round pick? How about Sheldon Rankins, first round pick? How about Brown from that used to play for the Patriots? Mm-hmm. Malcolm Brown, he's a first round pick. And the only sack held that the Saints got last night was that Onyemata, that David Onyemata got Dak late.
Yeah, that was.
That was the only sack they got all night. But they're all, you want to talk about a loaded defense? That defense is loaded. How about the secondary? Eli Apple, first round. Marshawn Lattimore, first round. Mm-hmm. Von Bell, second round. That is a loaded defense. That well could be the best defense in the NFC. And I know Bears are really good, but
Skip,
I don't know.
Skip, it's something you're funny. Dallas Cowboys offensive line, Ty Smith, first rounder. Travis Frederick, first rounder. Zach Martin, first rounder. Mm-hmm. Connor Williams, first rounder. Mm-hmm. Zeke Elliott,
second rounder.
Connor Williams, second rounder. Zeke Elliott, first rounder.
Yep.
So
who won the battle last night?
You're running back.
Which
Zeke
first
Elliott,
rounders?
First rounder.
Yeah.
Tavon Austin, first rounder.
Okay,
Randall Cobb, second.
Who won?
So
who won the line of scrimmage? Help me out. Repeatedly, who won it?
My team.
Did my offensive line protect Dak Prescott? They did not.
They did.
He had to run for his life.
Hold on.
And I'm going to give you this. He had one misfire the whole night to Dak Prescott, and it came on a play from the 10-yard line on the opening drive in which he had to reverse pivot out of the pocket and run to his left. And if we have that play handy,
he missed
had to
a touchdown.
Throw across
that was a touchdown.
Yep, and he's made this throw, as he said after the game, a million times, and he threw a bullet.
And it's been incomplete 999,000 times.
No, it has not. This is his best pass. This is where he throws it the best. And he doesn't have great rapport yet with Randall Cobb, and he said, when it left my hand, I thought it was a touchdown, and it was just off the fingertips of Randall Cobb, who he had to wave back and to uncover out of his route.
I know two guys that can make that play in their sleep.
Mm.
Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes, boy.
Now, I guarantee you. Guys.
Once upon a time, Aaron Rodgers, but no more.
Aaron Rodgers still made that. Well, Dak ain't never made it.
Stop.
Dak ain't never made it.
That's his best throw. No, that's what he does best.
Yeah, flat-footed. Not rolling like that right there.
No, that's what he does best.
Now, my homeboy make that play in the sleep.
Sometimes, but he has to look to the referee. It's the opposite of QBR. It's called hot dog stat.
We're pro football focus.
Hot dog.
Pro football focus downgraded.
He's running away with the hot dog stat.
They downgraded it.
HD. Hot dog.
What he was doing, Skip, as he was leaving, he was like, I'm going to the store, ref. You need something? You know what he had? He's not going to the store. You need something? He's like, no, I'm good. And he took our run.
I did like it. Glad you noticed that.
His opponents are going to love seeing that on film.
And do something about it.
We're going to show you.
Do something about it.
Yeah.
It's always something.
Hey, you're making mad. He throw for 400 on you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but is that what you want, Skip Bayless?
I don't care. I don't care what Kansas City does. Is that what you're talking about?
You're going to get exactly what you're looking for December 8th.
Oh,
exactly what you're looking for.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, that'll be an easy night for Brady.
Okay.
Because he loves throwing against these guys.
Yeah. No mercy.
Hey, football fans, are you an Amazon Prime member? Did you know that you have Thursday Night Football? Yeah, that's right. Thursday Night Football has returned to Prime Video for a third season. The cool thing is, you can catch all the action on your TV, on the web, or on your mobile device anywhere in the world. And the experience is next level. With Prime Video's X-ray feature, you can access next-gen stats, play history, and team information. And now it's available on iOS, Android, Fire tablets, and Fire TV. If you're ready to hear a new take on the game, you can switch over to sport broadcast legends Hannah Storm and Andrea Kramer for the play-by-play. So, if you don't have cable or simply want to experience the future of football, tune in this Thursday. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern and kickoff is at 8:20 p.m. Eastern. Also available on Fox and NFL Network. NFL Network simulcast subject to change. Thursday Night Football is presented by Bud Light Platinum. No mercy.
All right, guys, before the Bills-Patriots game kicked off, Bills head coach Sean McDermott had to escort two New England staffers off the field, and one of the staffers was Bill Belichick's son, who was lingering on the sideline during the Bills' pregame warm-up. Mm-mm. So McDermott was also up in arms with the helmet-to-helmet hit delivered to Josh Allen from Jonathan Jones. That was in the fourth quarter. The Bills did keep Tom Brady in check all day, though, and nearly pulled off the upset of the unbeaten Patriots. And we're now joined by Fox Sports NFL analyst Eric Mangini. It's been a bit. We're glad to have you back.
Good to be back.
Always good.
He knows the Patriots fairly well since you were there for how many years?
6 years.
6 years? Okay.
Yeah. I would say it's good to have you on this one. We are going to get to McDermott's concerns in a minute, but first, how concerned should the Patriots be with Brady's performance?
I don't think they should be that concerned with the performance. I think there's a lot of things that go into it. And you look at yesterday. Yesterday was a little bit different day overall. Patrick Mahomes, no touchdowns. Zeke Elliott averages 2 yards a carry. The Buccaneers score 55 points.
Like,
things were a little bit skewed. And the Bills have a really good defense. Okay, they have a really, really talented defense. The one interception that he threw in the red zone, I thought that was an outstanding play by the corner. It was man-to-man defense.
He baited him.
Yeah, there was a flat with a corner behind it. The corner did a great job of falling off late. Tom was scrambling to his right, which he rarely ever does.
Sure.
So you got to give the Bills credit for that. And when you look at the injury report, we don't talk about it with New England because they don't talk about it. So there's this assumption that it just doesn't affect them. But you've got Julian Edelman, who was hurt. You've got Marshall Newhouse, who's now their fourth left tackle in the last 3 years.
Yep.
You've got a backup center because David Andrews goes down. Mm. And then look at the two tight ends. You've got two tight ends with a production of 29 receptions. And both those guys had been hurt. Mike Devlin's now on IR.
Yep.
N'Keal Harry, it goes on and on.
So true.
I'd say my biggest concern is the injury to Tom Brady and the fact that he's missing time during practice the fact that they're bringing Cody Kessler in. They don't bring in three quarterbacks. They don't operate in a three quarterback system unless there's an issue that's a little bit bigger. So that to me is the concern.
So
I
you
have.
Think Tom is legitimately limited somehow injury-wise?
For them to bring in Kessler, I would imagine that he has a legitimate injury. And that's where my biggest concern is.
I have no idea what it is because they won't say.
It's like,
no,
that's true. It's a calf, and look, they're going to be listed as limited in practice, but you can rep a guy once or twice and say they're limited in practice.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, there's ways to present that.
Right.
Okay.
For me, normally, Skip, you'd probably be concerned, but when their defense is playing like they're playing, that defense is giving up 13 points in 4 games. And they get Washington, they get the Giants, and they get the Jets. So there's really no alarm for being concerned because Tom can figure it out as we go along. And if he's injured, he can get healthy as we go along. So I don't think they're going to be overly concerned because this defense is playing unbelievable. Mm. Jamie Collins coming back. Now, he fell into Coach Belichick's doghouse. But he can flat out play.
Yeah.
He's athletic. They're a big team, and Coach, you know this. Coach Belichick likes big, physical players. That front seven is big and physical.
Yep.
They don't let you do a whole lot. I was surprised how well Frank Gore ran the ball yesterday. I was shocked that Frank Gore, at his age, was running the ball as well as he did.
Yep.
But they get after the quarterback better than you think because when you look at him, you're like, they don't have a Khalil Mack. They don't have a Von Miller. They don't have a guy that you would like, we got a scheme to him. They don't really have anybody that you got to scheme to in their front seven. Mm-hmm. They just got guys that play really hard. They're technically and fundamentally sound.
They are.
And if a guy has to be in the hook, the flat, he's going to be there.
Yep.
You're not going to catch him out of position very often. But I don't know. I get what you're saying, Coach. I think the biggest thing is if there's something wrong with Tom, I think they brought Kessel in because they don't want Stidham to throw out his arm. Mm-hmm. They don't want him to take all the reps with the first team and have to throw scout team. I think Kessler might just be throwing scout team. But you could be right. You could be right that there's something. But, you know, as we get older, you know, Cav, you know, as we age, the first thing to go, Skip, if people think your shoulder, it's your lower body.
That's interesting.
It's your lower body is the first thing to go on an aging athlete.
Mm. Hmm. So what happens when you cannot protect Tom Brady and all of a sudden Julian Edelman is trying to play with cracked ribs and there's no Gronk? And there's no Antonio Brown, which led to no Demaryius Thomas because they had to cut him to add Antonio. And they finally
ended up trading him.
Yeah, they did. And N'Keal Harry was the first wide receiver Bill has taken in the first round in his career.
Nope, since Alexander for the Patriots.
For the Patriots? I thought, well, so it's in 20 years?
Yeah, 1995.
Okay.
You're talking about Cleveland.
I mean, for the Browns.
Okay, so for the Patriots.
Yep. Yeah.
So the point is N'Keal Harry looked like he was going to be something to a force to reckon with. And he goes down in the preseason and won't be back for the first 8 games. So all of a sudden, there's no you brought back Benjamin Watson. He was there probably when was he
yep.
there?
Yeah, he was there. We drafted him.
Yeah,
he's been suspended for 4 games.
Okay. Yep. He's back now.
Okay, so but this is the first game.
Yeah, he'll be back this week. Okay. Yes,
but you didn't have him yesterday. Well, it's hard, man. And if the 42-year-old gets moved off his spot routinely, consistently, which they did all day long. He was backpedaling. He was running left. He was running right. He was throwing the ball away here, you know, left and right. I thought he should have been called for grounding a couple times that he wasn't. But he's just dumping the ball because they're all over him. And he's not going to take a shot. He's not going to take a lick.
He's doing the Aaron Rodgers. He's throwing it away, huh? Mm. Now, I wonder if Pro Football Focus is noticing that.
Well, they will. They'll keep him.
Oh, you sure?
But Aaron's already on pace to shatter his own record for throwaways. Well, I'm not doing it. They're doing it.
No, you.
Well, you brought it up, and I finished it. Well, he is.
But I think the thing is, if I'm a team, and I know sometimes with all these injuries, I think I pressure him a little more than I would. And sometimes you might not get there, and sometimes you have to sacrifice, but I got to make him move off that spot. If you let him sit in that box, you let him sit in that phone booth, you can't beat him.
Well, the other thing about Buffalo that's unique is they've got Brian Daboll there. And Brian Daboll spent a ton of time there. He's worked on offense. He's worked on defense. He was my offense coordinator in Cleveland. He works with me at the Jets. He knows how to attack this offense, and I'm sure he shared that with him. And they did a nice job of disguising coverages and bringing some different looks and showing man and going to zone. You saw the corners at times would start off and come up. Those are things you have to do to be competitive against Tom Brady. You've got to give him something and then show him something else.
Mm-hmm.
The other issue yesterday was they couldn't run the ball. And they couldn't. They were in a bunch of third and longs. When you look at typical New England games, it's not 3rd and 8, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 10,
3rd and 3 to 5.
Yeah, it's all manageable third downs.
Where you can run or pass.
Run or pass, and this was a significant amount of 3rd and longer. And then Buffalo has good team speed. So the wide receiver screen or the running back screens, a lot of the plays that New England typically gets on other people weren't there. They closed those windows really quickly.
So speaking of bizarre developments, how do you explain what happened when Sean McDermott is leaving the field before the game and he shoos Brian Belichick, obviously Bill's son, who's like an assistant to an assistant coach, and another staffer? They were sort of lingering on the field, and McDermott is leaving the field himself, and he shoos them off the field. What do you make of this?
Yeah, to me, this is overkill. All right, so you're in a stadium with 60,000 people who are all watching you warm up, and you're going to find the two people that you disagree with watching you warm up and shoo them off the field. Here's what happens with that is some teams will actually run plays that they're going to run in the game in their pregame warm-up. Some teams will run personnel groups that they're going to run in the game.
Absolutely.
And if you're going to do that, then the other team has the right, because you're in the stadium. There's no rule against personnel watching it. If you're going to expose what you're going to do, then the other team has the right to take a look at it. And at New England, we would always do that. We would always look at the pregame warm-up and see our guys in different spots, who's working, who's the sub at left guard? Who's the sub? So if there's any question marks, a lot of those questions get answered in pregame. And that's the other team's fault for doing that. That's not New England's
fault.
And
a lot of times players watch. A lot of times the players will actually watch and see what's going on. Defensive players are watching the offense warm up, and the offensive players will watch what not me. I didn't have time to worry about that. I was going to trust what I had watched on tape. But I agree. But I think the thing is, Skip, is and Coach Mangini, I think you can attest to this. I think there's just the trust, and I agree with you, 60,000 people is, but it's like just the Patriots. Anything that the Patriots do, people are like, nah, y'all can't do. Now, I'm sure the Patriots are not the only one that's done this. I'm sure there have been whomever they've played before has done something like this.
He wouldn't have cared.
No.
No.
and they're not doing anything that everybody doesn't do every single week.
Right.
There's always someone that sits and watches the other side's warm-up, and teams will put their players kind of to the back to try to shield a little
block
bit.
It, right.
But at the end of the day, if you're going to show your hand in the pregame warmups, that's your fault.
Yeah.
And shooing off two people in a stadium filled with 60,000 people, you can have someone in the booth. Like it is absolutely meaningless. And to get upset about that, it's overkill.
But you're exactly right. Because coaches would say, such and such is not, he's down today. What you call him is playing the Sam backer, or this guy's playing the DB. Mm-hmm. Well, obviously they're watching to see the team warm up. So he's in there, so clearly he's going to play. We were very basic. We weren't running no stack formation. We weren't running no empty sets in pregames, because that's what we're going to run in the game. You run basic formation, a red, and just we never ran double tight ends or anything like that. It was just basic formation, then go.
And I can tell you, over the last 20 years, New England's run the same exact pregame warm-up time in and time out, and it's not going to change because there's no sense in giving anybody an edge right before the game starts. It's silly.
So give us your quick coaching perspective on the hit that knocked Josh Allen out of the game by Jonathan Jones, 3rd and 8. Josh Allen takes off and is trying to run for the first down, and it's called a helmet-to-helmet foul, but he was not ejected. Jonathan Jones, your take.
I had no problem with what happened. So Josh Allen last year is what, 11th in the NFL in rushing touchdowns?
Yeah.
He was 31st in rushing yards per game. He averages 7 yards per rush.
Didn't he lead quarterback last year?
He led quarterback. So now it's 3rd and 8 in a game that's a one-score game.
16
He's trying to get the first down.
Yep.
This is what he does. He makes a decision. He's got all the protection in the world if he wants to slide. So he's about a yard short of the first down.
Mm-hmm.
He lowers his shoulder, and you can see the DB is actually trying to lead with his shoulder, and Allen initiates contact. Do you want to have safety? Yes. Are hits like that going to happen every single game? They're going to happen. But the idea that there was any maliciousness, or that and you can see he probably would have gotten the first down had that contact not been made. And so what are you supposed to do defensively? Concede games because this guy decides to lower his shoulder? That's not right either.
Yeah.
I want safety. I want these guys protected. Sure. But there's got to also be an understanding that it is, at the end of the day, a physical and violent sport, and some collisions like these are going to happen as much as we try to mitigate
and
that.
And Jonathan Jones did not launch himself. He was stationary. He planted.
Right. And you can see him trying to come with the shoulder first, and his neck is...
And that was a live play. Yeah. It wasn't a dead ball play like Burfict. It wasn't a dead ball play like Barnett on Thursday night.
Yeah, that was...
Those are dead ball plays. That's totally different. This is a live play. He's running. Yeah. I don't know what you want him to do. Oh, concede the first down? Like, oh, I can't hit him. I'm sure you don't want him to hit him in the head.
Thank you.
Not conceding the first down. Yeah. I'm trying, at the end of the day, I'm still trying
to
win.
I'm not sure it was a foul, let alone he shouldn't have been.
Well, he tried to turn, but when you hit somebody, your head will.
And you're making that decision such a
But I don't think he should. I agree. The flag, I agree with the flag, but he shouldn't have been thrown out.
But the running backs and the quarterbacks and the offensive players also have a responsibility not to lower their helmets, too. Everybody has to work to make this right.
Yeah. Okay.
I've seen them call it a few times on the running backs. They've called that in the open field with the running back lowering his head.
Yeah, about
a little bit.
They get like one every quarter.
Yeah. Eric, good to have you. Mercy. The Browns pulled off an impressive win over the Ravens, but it wasn't without incident. With under 4 minutes left in the third quarter, Odell Beckham Jr. threw a punch at Ravens defender Marlon Humphrey. Humphrey then threw Odell on the ground and proceeded to choke the receiver. Both players were flagged, but no ejections were issued. And Browns head coach Freddie Kitchens said Humphrey got away with it because it was on Odell. After the game, both players addressed the incident. Take a listen.
I ran to him after the game. And apologized. It's not really what, you know, the brand of football I really want to represent. And, you know, the whistle blows, you know, it's got to be over with. Emotions flaring, you know. I enjoyed going against, you know, a top guy like that. You know, anytime you go against, you know, I think this offseason I've had more people tell me, oh, you get to play Odell, then people don't even talk to me about, you know, stuff like that.
It's hot out there. You know, we're just competing. I'm just upset I lost my earring.
Shannon, do you agree with Freddie Kitchens that Humphrey was not ejected because it was Odell?
No. Did he see the series before? Odell threw a punch. So Marlon says, okay, y'all ain't going to do anything about this. I'm going to Debo him next time. Mm. I'm going to get him on the ground and I'm putting him in.
Have you ever seen anybody get choked?
I mean, he literally, Skip, I'm talking about he literally.
I know.
He literally choked him.
No, can you remember it ever happening?
I can't. I've never seen anybody choking
him.
I mean, literally. And the official's like, I ain't finna get none of that. You getting all that by yourself. And I know Marlon Humphrey very well. His dad, I played with his dad, Bobby Humphrey. Skipping when
he made the Pro Bowl your rookie year.
His rookie year.
Yeah.
My rookie year, he did, yes. But Skip, when I first got to Denver, my apartment wasn't going to be ready until October.
Wow.
Bobby allowed me to stay in his home
for
3 weeks until my apartment got ready.
Mm-hmm.
So I know, obviously, Marlon wasn't born then, so I'm cool with Marlon, mm-hmm. and that's what you should do.
Yeah.
And Odell is finding out, you know, kicking nets don't hit back. But you hit a man, grown man in the game, they fight back. He Debo'd him. That's how Debo choked Smokey. When they were rolling dice over there.
No, I never seen anything like this, but I loved Odell's response. I'm just upset I lost my earring.
What is he supposed to say, Skip? What is he supposed to say? We're going to be able to see this. That's going to be a meme. We're going to be able to see this forever. The man got you on a football field choking you. That's not going away.
I know. I agree. And I don't know what happened to the earring. Is it in the grass?
Marlon probably got it.
Is the ground screw out there just sifting through the
grass? If I'm Marlon, I show up to the press conference on Monday when I do my interview, I got Odell earring in my ear. That's where it's at.
What do you think it's worth?
When Debo tell people change, what do you do?
Plenty.
Debo wear them.
It's worth plenty.
Yeah.
I mean, what, 50 grand?
But,
I don't know.
Skip, think about when you remember, and everybody remember this, when Odell went haywire on Josh Norman.
Yeah.
He wasn't thrown out. He should have been thrown out.
Yeah.
He targeted him.
Tom Coughlin should have pulled him out.
No, but Tom Coughlin was trying to win. He said that after the game. No, Odell started it. And I'm glad they made it like, look, Marlon said that's not the brand of football. I wouldn't apologize. Maybe at a later date and time.
Yeah.
I was like, he started it. I finished it. Now, if we want to talk about it, we go, hey, bro, I'm sorry about this, but that'll be later.
Yeah.
I ain't going to apologize right after the game because I'm still in my field
but
sometimes.
Marlon Humphrey seems like a classy kid.
He is.
You know, from Alabama, you know, like high draft pick, 16th overall
draft
pick, and he just lost it.
Yeah.
Like Odell threw on him,
sending
and he just
message.
Said, okay.
Skip, if he's anything like his dad, you got to push him really far to get him there.
Yeah, right.
But once you get him there, you're going to catch hell getting him get him away from there.
Exactly.
And so that's what happened. You hit the man in the face. I mean, emotions are already going high. This is a very testosterone-driven game.
Say.
This mono and mono.
Yep.
You hit a man in the face, what are you supposed to do?
Well, hey, I do think deep down the referees are saying, it's just Odell. He's always in the middle of something. Just let it go. Let it go.
Skip, here's the thing about breaking up a fight. Okay, if you're going to break up a fight, Jenny, you need two people.
Okay.
Because if I grab one and the one I grab somehow gets hit, guess what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
The one that I grab going to turn around and me and him going to start fighting.
Okay.
So what you do, hey, you grab one, I grab one, don't nobody get no cheap punches in.
Yep.
So the official's like, I'm not finna grab somebody and then Odell get a sneak punch, because Marlon might turn around and start choking me.
I don't want that.
No, I don't want that.
I do think it was very smart for Freddie Kitchens to tell the media, I'm going to the bus and I'm calling Al, as in Riveron, to complain about this, because you need to, he wants to be the ultimate player's coach. I got your back.
So what are you going to tell about Al? I want you to disregard that Odell hit him in the punch the series before. Don't worry about that.
Yeah,
I want to talk about the Marlon choking him.
Yep.
Let's talk about that.
Yep. Well, it was a little out of bounds to me.
I mean, what, the choke?
Yes.
Nah, that wasn't out of bounds.
Come on.
No, you hit me in the face.
Huh?
Skip, what am I supposed to do?
No, I know, but usually it's the guy who responds who gets tossed, and you got to eject for choking. I've never seen anybody
Skip,
get choked.
He stressed out with it. He's like, yeah.
I got you.
Yeah, please, I know.
On him.
Yeah.
Odell ain't do nothing.
Uh-uh.
I mean, you got to at least kick him.
Odell,
you got to kick him or something now. You just can't lay there and take it.
Mm. I think that's why the referee's like, that's Odell. We're looking the other way.
He's like, okay, well, you ain't trying to get him up off you.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. I mean, at some point in time, I mean, look, in a fight, look here. If you get that gym that I can't get you up off me, you're welcome to stay. But I promise you I'll get you up off me. But Odell would just seem to be fine laying there.
He did.
I'm like, what the hell is that?
Now I know how to break
up a fight.
You ain't
going to get that man up off you.
Appreciate that. Yeah, no, I know. I don't want to mess with him.
No mercy.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Some breaking news in our final topic of the day, guys. Raiders linebacker Vontaze Burfict has been suspended for the rest of the season. Burfict was ejected yesterday after a helmet-to-helmet hit. Burfict has been suspended for 6 previous games for illegal hits, and he will appeal this suspension. So, Shannon, what is your reaction to this breaking news?
Hell, what took you so long? Skippy, he's a repeat offender.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really know anywhere else to get around it. We saw him got suspended in 2017, 4 games. For Anthony Sherman, I think it was appealed down to 3 games. Mm-hmm. 2016, we saw the hit in the playoff game against Antonio Brown.
Ooh.
He got it. It got appealed at some point in time. Now, we've seen countless twisting guys' ankle in the pounds, poking guys in the eye. We've seen number over and over again and again. They warn him and warn him. They fine him 3 game checks, 4 game checks, and it's never enough.
Mm.
Just remove him from the game.
Yep.
That's it. Enough is enough. Just go, hey, you go be by yourself and you see how you like that.
Mm. How about suspend him for his career? Is that possible?
I wouldn't be opposed to that, Skip.
Wow.
So remember, he came out of Arizona State, and he's a really talented player, but he went undrafted because his questionable character was so questionable.
Yes.
It was beyond questionable. Mm-hmm. And Marvin Lewis said, I can make a football player out of that guy because he will hit you.
Yes.
And he would hit you.
He can play.
He can play. His second year under Marvin, he made the Pro Bowl. And then what happened? One bad thing after another, adding up to $4.2 million
in fines.
He has forfeited $4.2 million in fines.
But you know.
And did he learn his lesson?
No, you know why, Skip? Because he's made $32
million. Yeah.
So even though he's lost $4 million, he's made $32.
That's a good
Skip,
point.
It's like a guy, it's like steroids. If I make $300 million in baseball, you pop me for steroids, I miss a year and I lose $30 million. I still got $270. What have I lost?
Mm.
You got to remove him. You got to say, you know what? I'm done. You done
By the
here.
Way, he got popped for PEDs in 2018 for 4 games.
Skip, he going to mess around and seriously hurt someone.
Yep.
Then what?
Because what happened yesterday was completely over the line.
Come on, man.
I mean, it was just like, I want to hurt you.
He like you said, the other guy in New England, he didn't launch. No. He launched himself helmet first. Mm. Man, you're going to mess around and hurt somebody. Skip, you don't go out there intentionally trying to hurt somebody. Yeah. I believe he goes out there with the intent to hurt someone.
That is it for us, guys. Mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.